Registration is now open for the 2018 100% free Fall Home Medicine Summit. 37 experts setting you free of drugstores and big pharma. You will learn how to create your own personal pharmacy, how to reverse diabetes naturally, and much, much more. The free Fall Home Medicine Summit starts October 15th, so register today. Click the link below.
And, you know, there's been a number of things. We talked about NAFTA, GATT, China, the WTO, how it left 35 million manufacturing jobs, left the country. That really, really, really hurt the middle class. We have not recovered from it. We've not recovered from the financial collapse of 2007 and 8. That cost this country $5 trillion in 8 million jobs. We've not recovered from it because they've never addressed the underlying structural problems. We bailed out the banks when we should have taken and put the banks through receivership. We should have bankrupted them, put them in receivership, sold off their toxic assets, and gotten fair market value for them instead of propping them up and allowing them to consume their smaller competitors and consolidate their too big to fail stranglehold on our economy even further. But these are all things that that the country is absolutely under assault. And we're under assault by this left wing. Now, there is a group in 1933 moved to Columbia University called the Frankfurt School. And one of the first things they did is rewrote all of our books. They rewrote all of our common knowledge. One of them that jumps off the page at me is a guy named Franz Boas. Took 1,000 years of anthropological studies, threw them out the window, and said, oh, nope, we're all alike, except for different skin colors. That's the only difference among all human beings. Well, it's not true, because if you go to just exercise physiology things, blacks have more fast twitch muscles. It allows them to be good sprinters, you know, great off the, you know, all these type of things. Whites have more slow twitch muscles, allows them to be great power lifters. There's all these subtle differences at the smallest level.
But it has to do with breeding. It just has to do with who you breed, where you get your genes, and they happen to kind of go this way, and we happen to go this way, and then as you start interbreeding, it's kind of like what you do with horses. Yeah. I know humans are the same way. If we want to create, you know, breed horses, you look for certain characteristics and you go that way.
Well, if you want to create all plow horses, you keep them all that have that type of body or that type of build. If you want to have all race horses, you keep them there and you only breed the best and fastest ones. But we've never done that.
Naturally we did.
But it changed our thinking about how we view each other as human beings. Are we all human beings? Absolutely we are. But to ignore the fact that we have subtle differences among us is we're lying to ourselves and saying that no, we're all absolutely equal. And we should all be treated the exact same way. We should all have equal opportunity.
Yes. I think the fear is that traditionally there's always been a more powerful group, right?
Yes.
Who have held back others. And so people are fearful that if you don't send this message that we're all the same, that it's going to somehow go back to that. There's a difference between saying we all have the same value. But we're not all the same. Some people are smarter than others. Some people are faster than others. And, you know, and even with the female-male thing, if you raise a daughter and you raise a boy, you know they're quite a bit different. But they still have equal value in my eyes. And they should be in my parents' eyes. But they're different. Although you can't stereotype either, because there are some boys that tend to be a little bit more like the stereotypical girl behavior and vice versa. But people are different, and we should be able to embrace that. But at the same time, we don't have to get so overly politically correct that we are where we're at now, which is so stupid.
Well, I'm glad to see that the Asians are speaking up and suing Harvard.
Yeah, that's a great example.
They are the most discriminated group in the entire country. They're brilliant. They study hard. They do well in school. And they're being held out to make room for some other minority out there who gets 200 extra points on his SAT because of the color of his skin.
Yeah, it's not right. No, it's not right. Well, they bred for smarts. Maybe we should do that, but go ahead.
that the question is, what kind of a country do we want to be?
Exactly.
Do we want to be a country that excels and is based on merit, and you got the job you have because you're the best guy for that job or best woman for that job because you deserve it because you perform better? You know, that's how it works in the NFL. That's how it works in the NBA.
Just basic integrity. Just basic integrity.
But it doesn't work that way across the rest of society. We have to make allowances to build this diversity here. And so we have the choice. We want to be a diverse culture, or do we want to be a successful culture? And so that's really the question as far as this political correct nonsense about the diversity question. I don't have an answer for it. This is something that we as a people need to make a decision on, but we haven't been allowed to voice our opinions. If we do, they shout us down.
Well, we look like we're, it's hard not to have this discussion without looking like you're a racist of some sort. So I think it's important to have, that's why the Christian values or values like that, morals and ethics, you know, religions are quite morally and ethically tied, that is what's behind these conversations, that we're not here to create genocide. We're not here to create some great race like the Nazis did. What we're here is to have a society based on merit and things that make us great.
Well, you're correct. And let me give you another way of looking at the issue. Look at it not from a left-right paradigm, but look at it from a top-down paradigm. Who is trying to oppress and keep you down? Who is trying to build you up? Who is allowing you the freedom to maximize your own potential? And look at it from an up-down, not a left-right. And if you change that prism, if you will, it might give people a little bit different perspective on how to view some of these questions we have. But we have to ignore the fact that they're going to come out and say, oh, you're a racist. You know what? I don't care what you say. We need to have this discussion. We need to be honest. I want Black people to thrive. I want them to do well. I want them to prosper. And I want them to be happy and live productive lives. But what we're doing now doesn't work.
Well, like feeding the inner cities with drugs and then having all their families in prison. You're not helping them.
Well, let me point out, it was under George Herbert Walker Bush who oversaw this Iran-Contra program that targeted the Black inner city with crack cocaine, targeted intentionally because they wanted to scoop the welfare money out of there to fund their Black programs, you know, their Black ops. And so this goes back a long way. And I want to point something else out to the people. George Herbert Walker Bush is probably one of the most evil men that's ever walked the planet. Okay. But I want to point out that he had 8 years as vice president under Ronald Reagan. He had 4 years of his own presidency. He had 8 years when his protege, Bill Clinton, who worked for him as a CIA, he was a CIA handler. And he had control of the presidency for 8 years with it when his own son, George W. Bush, was in there.
Yeah, he controlled that too.
But he controlled that too. So you look at the history, the timeline that George Herbert Walker Bush has had to cherry pick people and to put people into key bottleneck positions that, you know, you don't have to fill every chair, just have to fill the bottleneck chairs where you have the supervisor who says what case is going to get prosecuted, what case isn't. What frauds are we going to point out? Which ones are we going to ignore? You know, you put people in there who share George Herbert Walker Bush's mindset about what the vision they have for this country, and they've stacked the deck on our government for almost 40 years. How do we root out all of that corruption and rot that's been there?
High-quality turmeric improves focus and mood, helps increase energy, helps age-related memory decline, and much, much more. Science Natural is offering my listeners 3 free bottles with the purchase of 1 bottle. See link below for this great offer.
Now, what was his overall plan? I mean, he was taking direction from others, right? He's not the top dog. So what was that plan, and who was he working for?
That is, I've got some theories about it, but I'm not sure. Allegedly, George Bush, his family's name was Scherf. They were German. They were allied with the Nazi party. His father, grandfather Prescott Bush, was funding the Nazis in World War II. And I tell you, I don't know, because they've kept that really tight, really private. And I don't have visibility into that at this time.
Well, that's above top secret, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, one of the things I also wanted to discuss is, you know, we look at human events, and I went to business school, have an MBA. All right. We're taught to plan in 5-year increments, you know, and what we start out with, where we begin our plan and how our plan ends up after 5 years of implementation, it rarely resembles what we started with, what our vision was. When we put the pencil to paper and drew out the Excel spreadsheets, it turns out to be something entirely different. Okay. But there is something out there that doesn't think in 5-year plans, but thinks in 50-year, 100-year, 500-year plans. My good friend, Dr. Preston James, writes about this and calls it the third force. But there is, you can see the influence of a third force by the things that have taken 100 years to implement. No human being, we've got a 75, 80-year lifespan. No human being can create and implement a 100-year plan. Something else is out here that influences human events. And that is the great unknown. That's what I don't know right now. And that's what I've been researching and studying, because I see the influence of these things, but I don't know what the source is.
And there's a lot of theories that there is other dimensional beings. There's all these other things.
Other dimensional beings, ETs, time travelers, people who live among us who have 3,000-year lifespans. I don't know. I do not know, but I do know there is a hidden hand that influences human events. I can see the effects. I don't have to see the accident to know the car was in a wreck, when I can look at the fender and see that it's crunched. You know, I don't have to see it happen, but I know that an accident happened, and I can see the effects of meddling in the human history, human events, human life. So
where do you think we're going to now? I mean, we have some major issues. We have the 5G coming on board. People are afraid is a very, very dangerous technology. We have cancer levels that are 1 out of 2 men and 1 out of 3 women are getting cancer. We have autism that is raising. We have obesity that, I mean, we really have some serious issues beyond just what we're talking about. And well, go ahead.
Everything you've mentioned is environmental in nature. And if you go back and look at the Georgia Guidestones, and their goal is to take the population of the planet and to reduce it to less than 500 million, and essentially create slaves of the 500 million that survive. Everything you just mentioned there is environmental and is toxic to human life. Now, Motorola, back when they were developing the cell phones, I worked closely with Motorola. They know that these things can cause brain cancer. They've known it for a long time. You mentioned the obesity epidemic that's going on. You look at Monsanto with the glyphosate. You look at the BPA chemicals that plastics emit into your drinking water, if you drink bottled water. Lines every can, whether it's a can of beans or tuna fish, it's got the same liner in there. All of these toxins that are in our environment have an effect. The glyphosate and the BPAs are endocrine disruptors. Well, what does that do? It stops the production of testosterone and emphasizes the production of estrogen. So it makes men more feminine and it makes women fat.
Yeah, that's
so
wonderful.
It's what it does.
I mean, I'm just being sarcastic, because I'm fighting hard against the fact that they want me more fat. Stop it.
Well, it's true. There's a couple things you can do that'll help.
I know. I'm working on it.
But that's what they're doing to us. And you look at all of this obscenity that's coming out. First it was being gay and lesbian. Okay, fine. We can accept that. But now this whole transsexual thing coming out, where they've got men. Well, I'm a woman on the inside, so I'm going to compete in the Title IX race here against the other girls, because I think I'm a woman. I feel like a woman today.
But I don't even care about that. You know what? Here's my thing, is that it's becoming an issue that's way overblown to how important it is to our society. We have so many other things that we have to take care of. I've talked to psychologists. My niece is getting her PhD in that. And she's like, you know what's so sad is these people don't want the attention, most of them. They just want to be left alone and be able to live a normal life. The ones who truly feel that way, they're not the ones that ask for this kind of attention. They don't want that. And so this was all a propaganda at the expense of them. It's not our biggest issues. You know, we got other things to pay attention to. They have value too, and we can't not see that their value.
But it's bullshit. I agree, but I think that these things are being influenced by toxins within the environment, number one. And number two, I think this is being used to, again, further destroy the foundation of our culture, which is the family and the middle class. And that's why these things, that the people who just want to be left alone and be private and say, okay, if I want to dress like a woman and that's who I want to be and want to be just left alone, they don't want that person. They want that person front and center, so that they can use it to further destroy and undermine the basis of what makes a family a family.
Yeah, they're just using these people against, just like the people in the inner cities, just like, it's just people to use for other purposes. And that's what makes me mad. We have so many big issues and we're screwing around with this. You know, that's what makes me angry, is because it's such a small, we have 50% of our, over 50% of our kids, I keep using the stat, who are getting raped and sexually abused in our child welfare system, and we're screwing around talking about this? I mean, come on.
Well, let me give you a real live example here. When I was running for governor, one of my campaign workers was a woman named Lori. I won't give her last name, but she was an attorney, and she had her sister had a daughter. Her sister and the husband were killed in a car accident, and she gained custody of the daughter. Child Protective Services in Arizona, that was set up and arranged by Janet Napolitano, the governor at the time that I ran against, came in and seized the child as a 12, 13-year-old girl and put her into an abusive foster home where she was raped and molested on a daily basis. And my campaign worker, Lori, she's a woman of 45, years old or so, would go and visit the child with supervised visitation but wasn't allowed to take her out. And she was trying to get the child out desperately, filing every known motion that she could, every way, shape, and form.
Her child was being actively raped and abused, and she couldn't get him, get her out. I would go ballistic.
And it gets worse. It got so bad that the child hung herself.
Oh, my God.
Took her own life. And this woman, Lori, who I still stay in touch with, who's still a good friend.
Was she going ballistic saying, my child is being raped every freaking day, and you guys think that's a safer environment?
And that shows you the level of corruption that went on. This Janet Napolitano, who is governor here, who is now the president of the California University System, another monster. That's another monster out there that needs to be terminated with prejudice. But there are evil people out there who are doing abusive things. And, the Arizona Child Protective Services was one of the worst in the nation. And this is a true story. I can document it offline. I'll give you names and phone numbers if you want to contact to verify the story. I'll be glad to give it to you.
Well, I just want to give her my love. You know, I mean, just like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, push some good thoughts to her, because it's just what a nightmare. That's why I'm saying evil isn't a strong enough word.
Well, the one thing she asked me, she said, Mike, if you're elected governor, promise me, no matter what, you will make me the director of Child Protective Services. I said, absolutely, you've got it.
Yeah, I'm going to fix this BS. That's why I'm saying people can fix it. They know how to fix it. They just purposely not. There will always be a percentage of problems. Well, you know, we just have people who are nightmares that we know exist. There's always been a certain percentage of serial killers. But we know how to set up a system that's way better than what we have now.
Well, there's a couple things going on here. Number one, you look at these the child sex trafficking. The Phoenix New Times, which was part of Village Voice out of New York, they were shut down recently because of that Backpage publication. They were child sex traffickers, active duty child sex traffickers. I'm glad that they're shut down. It is a blessing that they are gone. But you look at two things. Who makes money? Who profits off of this? People are making a lot of money trafficking children to have sex with. And these people who have sex with children are then open to blackmail. And they will do anything that they have to do to protect themselves. So if the people who are in power, who are controlling this thing, need something done. They'll say to some guy who's, doing some, 11-year-old boy and say, look, unless you want this to come out and want to spend the rest of your life in jail, you're going to take this gun and you're going to go down and shoot this guy or do this or do that or do the other thing with it. They have an extreme amount of control over the people who partake, who are the beneficiaries of the children's sexuality, if you will. It's a really sick system. And they close and they protect each other like nothing you've ever seen.
They're loyal to each other
to protect each other, to keep their themselves out of prison or from being killed. And it really is a tragic situation, and it needs to be cleaned up from top to bottom.
Absolutely.
No exceptions.
No exceptions. So now how is it fighting? What's going on? I know that there are a lot of people fighting this, and anybody who has half a brain and has some empathy wants to help fight it. So what in your sources, I know we have had more pedophiles being taken down, but that doesn't necessarily mean the top brass are being taken down. It could be another propaganda BS thing going on. From your sources, what's really going on?
Well, there is pedophiles are being taken down. We can see this in the Catholic Church. Now, the Catholic Church has known for at least 70 years in this country, we've known that there are pedophile priests out there, and it's finally coming to light. And the problem is that we can't rehabilitate these people. We need to execute them, and we need to
get them out of our society.
Cut it off.
Get rid of them. Yeah.
I mean, you look at the harm that they do to a child. They ruin this kid for life. I mean, they're never going to get over it. They're never going to heal. And if they do heal, they're never going to be whole. And so these people need to be rooted out by any and every means possible. And we can make things easier for them if they cooperate. But we need to stop the problem. It needs to go there. And what I said earlier about how people are in bottleneck positions, county prosecutors, state attorney general's offices, things where these cases should be prosecuted. If a case is brought, it may not get prosecuted because whoever the supervisor is may say, oh, no, it's not a strong enough case. It doesn't have this or it lacks that. And it'll be dismissed. It'll be let go because it gets too close to somebody important. It does something someplace. Put yourself one thing you have to realize. You know how the police departments are always trying to infiltrate organized crime and get somebody to wear a wire and to listen to the mafia don say this and that and the other thing? Well, guess what? Organized crime is doing the same thing. They're trying to infiltrate the police department. They're trying to infiltrate the county prosecutor. They're trying to infiltrate the state AG's office. They want to know what's going on.
And they've done a successful job doing it in every single police department in our country is pretty much infiltrated. Now, question for you. I've been told from sources that there has been a high-level decision to take down this criminal cabal only to replace it with a nicer feel-good cabal that will then go forward and implement the Georgia Guidestone plan.
Well, yes, on taking down the criminal cabal, and I can't answer about a kinder, gentler cabal to implement the Georgia Guidestone plan. It doesn't matter. If their end game is to eliminate, 6.5, almost 7 billion human beings on this planet, then they're on the wrong, they're reading off the wrong sheet of music.
Yeah, my thing is, when I had this conversation with my source, we have the same enemy right now. So, okay, well, while we have the same enemy, let's fight it. But once that criminal cabal goes down, it's very important that the right people get put in place to allow us to maintain a prosperous, peaceful, healthy society going forward. And that's the point where we have to be very careful.
Well, it is. It's right. It's that moment after victory. It's that moment when you vanquish the visible enemy that the hidden enemy will emerge. And that's when you have to be the most vigilant. That is when the greatest treacheries take place. And anybody who is a student of history, accurate history, not our fake history that they teach us in schools, realizes that the moment that the enemy surrenders is when your allies will turn on you. And that's when you've got to be the most capable. That's when they will show their true intentions to you. And so that's you know, keep your eyes open all the time. Never, ever rest. And don't trust anybody 100%.
Yeah, so. Because you, well, especially when you have the same enemy, you can fight in that same direction and then everything comes open later. Well, based on where you're at now, because you're working for Veterans Today, which is a great publication. What does the military, I know the military supports Trump. How supportive is the military towards taking down this cabal overall? Because they're the ones seeing it. They get to see it.
Okay. Well, and they're the ones who are out in the field fighting and dying. You know, they're the ones who see their friends come home missing limbs or dead from Afghanistan and Iraq and realize that we were sent there for the wrong reasons.
They're pissed.
That Saddam Hussein never had weapons of mass destruction, and you know, the Taliban never had anything to do with 9/11. You know, nothing.
Yeah, and my brothers and sisters are coming back and committing suicide 21 a day, if not more.
Well, here's really the keys to the kingdom here. After the quote alleged capture and murder of Osama bin Laden, you know, the Stage One SEAL Team 6 went in, and the fact that 4 weeks later, SEAL Team 6 was killed in a training accident, that was not lost on all of the special operations guys. They got to see up close and personal how they're regarded, that they are expendables. And that no matter what they do, they'll do anything to serve their country, anything to serve their people. But they came to the realization that they are indeed working for a criminal organization within our government, and that they're not going to do it anymore. And that so they're being very careful, and that is where the majority of the support comes from for the Trump people, is through all of the special operations people across every service.
Because they're seeing their fellow soldiers guarding opium fields.
Yep.
You know, they're like, what the hell is that? Well, they're seeing what's going on.
Well, the thing is, you look at the in Pakistan when they sent SEAL Team 6 in to take out Osama bin Laden, and he was killed, right?
Well, whatever that was.
Well, the thing is, if it's for national security, if it really benefits the United States, they'll go along with it. Okay, they'll if that's what they're told. Hey, we're good soldiers. You know, mine is not to reason why. Mine is but to do or die. I'll go get it done. And so, but then when they see the guys who had knowledge, working knowledge, what really happened that night, and they're all killed in a training accident. Sorry, that type of stuff doesn't happen to special forces. You don't die in training accidents.
And this isn't what we're about. You've suddenly broke the code. Yeah. So that's good. Now, and Trump knows that. He's playing a dangerous game. I mean, regardless of where he's at. And so that's, you know, he needs the support. But at the same standpoint, we can't be stupid either. But what can we do?
Well, we can just be supportive right now, and we can try to find the truth, and we can make noise when it counts.
So where can people get hold of you? Because I know you write for Veterans Today. You have amazing work that you're doing. Where can they find you and your work?
Well, I do have a website. However, it's inoperative right now because I got hacked. My website is mikeharris.us, www.mikeharris.us, but it's down because they got to it.
Great.
And I've been in the process of getting that back up, but the best place to contact me is really through VT right now. You know, okay. If I gave out my own email address, I'd get, you know, buried in fan mail. So.
Well, how is VT doing? How is Veterans Today doing? What is their... because they just do such wonderful work. What is their future goals and what they have going on?
Well, VT is doing okay. Gordon Duff and I are at odds about Trump. I think Trump's a good guy. He thinks Trump's the worst in the world. And so we've got our own opinions, but we agree to disagree without being disagreeable.
Well, but isn't that healthy, though, to have multiple opinions?
So.
And can they welcome multiple opinions?
Well, the thing is, we all see the bigger enemy. We all see that Israel is not our friend. You know, we've got this. Israel, if we ever had an enemy, it's Israel. you know, because
they've completely infiltrated
to go fight our wars. And I was really tickled with Trump when he signed that bill saying any government, any foreign government that meddles in our election will have consequences. I really want Israel to get caught in that one because they are. And you point out to people that John F. Kennedy signed that executive order that forced AIPAC to register as a foreign agent. And after he was murdered, then Lyndon Johnson rescinded that executive order 3 weeks later, and we've been stuck with AIPAC ever since.
Well, and now, he signed on the plane the Bank Act, you know, the whatever that act was to reverse. The first thing he did on the plane.
Well, the first thing he did in order to stop the printing of money by the Treasury and delegate it to the Federal Reserve. But you think about how would our political environment be different today if AIPAC was registered as a foreign agent? Would you have these congressmen signing pledges of loyalty to Israel in exchange for campaign funds? I don't think so.
Or how about Texas town that had to sign alliance to or allegiance to Israel before they would get support, hurricane relief?
Yeah.
That's bribery.
That's extortion. It's not bribery. It's extortion.
It's extortion. That was the word.
You look at these things and you look at all this anti-hate speech that's going to, if you disagree with the Holocaust narrative, then that's hate speech and you can be censured for that. That's against the law. We'll put you in prison. If that's really the truth should stand on its own and shouldn't need to be protected.
You should be able to debate truth, just like now we can't debate science. And, you know, like I had someone back out. I had a really good interview with, Dr. Boyd Haley was the head of the chemistry department from the University of Kentucky doing work on autism and the role of mercury and different things that he's done. He's great. And I had someone back out because that was supporting conspiracy theory. I'm like, I've lost, you guys have all lost your mind when we get to that point.
That's the issue. And that is if you disagree with anything that's out there that may have any kind that's outside of the official approved narrative, then they label a conspiracy theory and try to marginalize you.
Well, and I think people who go with that are cowards. I'm to that point now where you are either a coward or if you can't stand by truth and important. And I realize there are times where you make some decisions you can't always be pure because of what you're trying to get accomplished. But in general, you need to be. And if you're doing it just because you just want to protect your own ass, there's a point where you're just a coward. Don't you agree? I mean, because at what point is it that?
Absolutely. That's one thing about it. I'm a bit outspoken about these things and I stand up and I'm counted. But I speak my mind and I tell the truth as I know it. Now, am I always right? Do I have all the information? No, I don't. And I do allow myself to change my opinions based on new data. But I make data-driven decisions. I make, you know, and I try to reflect that in how I present and what I present to the world.
And sometimes when you have a bigger thing that you're trying to get accomplished, there are some things that you have to do. I realize that. But in general, you know, like when you're in the middle of a war and a battle, it's not pretty, right?
No.
You'd be naive to think that a battle that has a lot of consequences is pure. You need to win. But at the end of the day, if you don't have some of this courage, we're going to be living in literally hell if people don't step up and have courage.
Well, that's the thing. If the left wins their agenda, I mean, no one wanted Trump. The Democrats didn't want him. 90% of the Republican Party didn't want him. But the American people heard his message and said, you know what? He's right. That's what I want. And he's surprised. See, the thing that Hillary Clinton is so flabbergasted by, she can't believe she couldn't win a rigged election.
Well, she was so bad. I mean, she was running in a different age where people started learning the truth.
Well, that's it. She was so bad, but she thought because they shaved 3 to 5 points off of all the election results everywhere that she thought she was going to win. That should be enough. It wasn't nearly enough. And the reason she wants to run again in 2020 is because they want to keep their involvement in all this criminality sealed. They don't want it to get out. They don't want people to know, because if that ever came out and they were ever tried, they would be hung by the neck for treason. for what they've done to this country.
Well, if just a fraction of what I know and what we've covered on this show comes out, they would be hung for treason.
Well, the thing of it is, we were going to talk about Russia before. And what we have to understand is that once the Soviet Union came apart, the communists weren't there anymore. They were here now. The Bolsheviks are here. And what they're trying to do is topple our country the way they toppled the Tsar back in 1917. And that's what we have going on right before our eyes. We're living it. We're breathing it. 100 years later, we've got the Bolshevik Revolution occurring in this country. Who do you think Antifa is? Who are these people that want to not go along with free speech, who want to take away your Second Amendment, who want to eliminate the Electoral College, who want open borders? This is nonsense. This is insanity. No country can survive this way, and they don't want us to survive. They want to destroy our republic. They want to destroy what we've created here, and they want to destroy us as a people. That's their agenda.
Okay, so again, tell us where we can find you.
VeteransToday.com. Try there. Go through that. If you're really careful, you can dig out an email address on there for me, but that's how you can reach me.
And will you stick around for my Patreons?
Absolutely.